Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, coming up in a bit, I will tell you guys a story about my weekend, and maybe you can help me. I haven't told Rob yet this story. I've only told this story to very close personal friends, but I consider you all to be close personal friends, so I'll tell you guys the story too. And tell me, was I wrong in the way that I handled this situation? Before we get to that, let's get back to the Chiefs. Now, usually I spend all day Sunday, all morning, really trying to come up with unique, fresh takes and angles on the game. I don't really have any for this game. I don't think you really need one. One side got thumped, shellacked. The Chiefs dominated the Raiders in almost every single capacity. We still got to talk about the game. So you know what? Let's talk about the game in a little bit different light. I went on the Raiders Reddit page. Now, their Reddit page, Rob, is called the Death Star. It is Raider Nation headquarters for fans. So you go on here. You guys know how Reddit is. It's a big message board. And you can chime in and weigh in with how you feel. Can I pick some of my favorite posts for you guys so we can go through them? Rob, hit the music! Listen to this one. This is one of my favorite posts that we've ever read on this show. Raider Nation, it's okay to take a long break from watching this joke of a team. If you are reading this post, you are probably feeling what I'm feeling right now. Completely broken. I'll be honest, I've watched some games this season where I felt that I was on the verge of crying due to sheer incompetence and disappointment. But this game, it didn't just disappoint me. It's completely broken me. I am mentally and emotionally drained, and I know I'm not the only one on here that feels this way. This isn't just about being a fan anymore. Watching and cheering for this team has become self-harm. You can't keep pouring your time, energy, and emotional well-being into something that gives you nothing but heartache and stress. For the sake of your mental health, I beg you to take a long extended break from watching this team. Unfollow all of their accounts. Go out and enjoy your Sundays and let your mind heal. This is where our mental health has to come first. For your sake and your well-being, you have to prioritize yourself. And if watching this team is costing you peace, then it's time to step away. I'm already broken, so I might not be able to watch every game the rest of the season. It's not worth sacrificing my mental health for an outcome that will likely be the same. This is my plea to everyone who feels the same way. Take a long overdue break, unplug, and find better ways to spend your Sunday. Heal the emotional wounds that this team is inflicting upon us. You are not a bad fan for prioritizing your mental over this franchise. Please stop letting this team torment you. If you are at the point in which you are making posts like that on Reddit, I'm telling you right now, you've taken the sports thing way more serious than you need to. Hold on, we got more. That was the first one I saw this morning. Was that guy? He sounds like he's on the edge. He gotta call the hotline. We need a wellness check over to his residence. Rob, he's on the edge. Please keep sharp objects away from that man. Hold on, are we ready? I gotta compose myself. Hold on. I don't care if this violates the Reddit rules, but Geno Smith, he blankin' sucks. He has no pocket awareness. Blank the Raiders. Blank Geno. Blank Chip Kelly. Blank Pete. Blank Mark Davis. Blank Max Crosby. Even though I like him. That's what it said. It said, trade Max and then let him experience a winning team. We're dog blank. And we will be until Mark Davis sells the team. I'm sorry, I'm tickled by this. I might be the only one, but just, you gotta bear with me for this segment. You ready for another? I got another one for you. You ready? Pete Carroll needs to be held accountable. You want to know a fan's favorite? And when you're frustrated, a fan's favorite word is accountable. Somebody's got to be held accountable for this. Not fired, but accountable. Accountable for the blank staff he hired. Accountable for the questionable decision and stubborn behavior. Accountable for the questionable drafting. Accountable for talking in circles and the BS excuses he makes in every press conference. Accountable for signing a 35-year-old journeyman quarterback who's done nothing his entire career. Accountable for the worst quarterback play we've seen in years. Accountable for the rookie mistakes that said 35-year-old 12-year veteran quarterback is making. Accountable for one of the worst offensive lines in Raider history. Accountable for another blowout. Accountable for the lack of effort and discipline in this team. Accountable for the 93 yards. This is literally unacceptable. I'm sorry. Oh my goodness. The Raiders, they're so damn bad. Oh my goodness. Rob, here's the post of somebody that said they were going through all of the work that they've gone through to get their weekend schedule fixed so they could have Sundays off so they could watch the Raiders. And now they're going back to their boss to see if he can be back on the Sunday shifts because he doesn't need the time off anymore. Oh my goodness. Oh, man. Someone just sent in. Watching the Raiders is like watching my kids' high school productions. It's painful and it's miserable and it's mediocre to watch, but they're family. So you have to grin and bear it because that's what families do. That's what watching the Raiders is like. Watching the Raiders is like when you got to go to your niece's recital. Like when you got to go to your kid's play. Your kid's 8. They don't want to be there. You don't want to be there, but you got to. Oh, I'm telling you, this is hilarious. I'm serious. Oh my goodness, it's so good. This is so good. Oh man, all right. That's the funniest post I've ever read on this show.
Can you imagine if you're that guy's boss and you're like, oh, hold on, you took off 17 Sundays for Raider football and we're 8 in and you're done? Not even 8 in. I guess they're what? They're 2-5, 7 in, and we're done? You can have all your shifts back? That's crazy.
This first guy, I've never seen somebody go through it more on the internet. Oh, Reddit. Oh, there's more. I mean, we could just do this periodically over the day. I mean, there's a lot of angry people you would imagine on the Raiders Reddit page. A lot. There's a lot of really angry people that's over there. Which, I mean, I get it. I mean, I can't imagine cheering for that Raiders team. I really can't. And then what's even worse is they played the cruel joke of in week one, they really did enough to make you believe. Remember, they went on the road and they beat the Patriots pretty handily in week one. You're thinking, all right, Raiders got something cooking. No, they didn't have nothing cooking. They burnt it. They're bad again. They better get forward to the draft. Who they got coming? Garrett Nussmeier? Who they got coming? Cade Klubnik? They better get ready for that because that team, they're terrible. They look like a 5-12 with a Pete Carroll resignation loading up for them. That's an awful, awful football team. My goodness, the Chiefs beat them. I mean, like they stole something. That's not good. I'm here to tell you. It wasn't good. All right, we'll continue to talk about the Chiefs. We'll continue to get you ready for a very exciting night in sports. We got two Monday night football games. We also got a game 7 in baseball coming up later today. I want to tell you guys a story, and I just want to know if I was in the right or in the wrong for how I handled this situation. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're going to get back to the Chiefs in a bit. We have some defensive stats that, I mean, just, they got pummeled. Like, genuinely pummeled. We'll get to that in a bit. Rob, I want to tell you a story. Now, I've not told you this story yet, and admittedly, I don't know a whole lot about this process. So maybe I was in the right, maybe I was in the wrong. I don't know. I am contemplating the idea of buying a condo. I would say I'm not sure yet, but I'm interested. So I did what most people do, Rob. I went on the old Google machine. And I was just like typing in some things. And I saw a couple that I was kind of interested in. So I was like, you know what? Let me set up a tour. Right there on the website, you can set up a tour. So I set up a tour. I'm excited about this. I get an automated call from Zillow. Hey, was this you? Do you want to tour it? Yeah, that was me. I do. I want to go on a tour. Okay, cool. We're going to connect you with somebody. So then they connect me with somebody. Who's like, oh, no, we're happy to hear. Like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that's great. Hey, I'm free this time. Are you free this time? Sure. So we agreed on a time on Saturday morning to meet up and go to this place. So I've never toured one of these places before. I don't really know what to expect. So I meet them. Mind you, Rob, I had never met this person before. It's my first time meeting him. We just exchanged 3 text messages. So I meet him in the lobby of the building. And he's like, okay, let's, you know, what's your name? We shake hands. He takes me up on the elevator. So we get up on the elevator, Rob, and right before he goes to open the door, he said, oh, yeah, I need you to sign something. I looked at him very confused. Like, what do you mean I need to sign something? He's like, oh, it's just a standard agreement. Agreement for what? What are we agreeing to? I just want to see the property. He was like, well, you know, it's just a standard buyer broker agreement. I was like, wait, hold on. I have to reach an agreement with you for you to open the door? This doesn't make any sense to me. I looked at him very perplexed. He was like, yeah. And I was like, well, can I read it? He's like, yeah, of course. So he hands me this sheet of paper. Now, again, Rob, I wanted to note it. This is why I felt the way that I felt. I didn't pick this person. It's not like I met this person, we talked it out, and he was finding places for me. I did the Google by myself. I scheduled the tour by myself. Anybody could have given me the tour to this place. He didn't do any work. So this agreement that I read, it was if I ended up agreeing to buy it, he would get like 4% of the total cost, and then there was like a fee, and he was trying to tell me, oh, that fee's kind of standard, but usually the owner of the condo would end up, I was like, wait, hold on, I got to do all this just to look at the property? I mean, I haven't decided if I like it or anything. I just want to see what it looks like. I can't get a feel for it just looking at it through the pictures. And then it also said that if I agreed to buy it in the next 90 days, I could only negotiate it with him. I was like, wait, this, I feel like you're trying to hoodwink me, bamboozled me. He was like, well, no, it's kind of standard. I was like, well, I don't want to see the property anymore. He was like, you sure? Yeah. And I skedaddled out of there. I just want to know if I was in the wrong, because I felt like this man was trying to hoodwink me in the middle of this thing. I had to sign an agreement with him. Rob, did this happen? You recently bought a townhouse. You own your where you live. I'm thinking about it. This didn't seem right. It felt very shady to me. That's what it felt. It felt very shady to me. Like he was trying to take advantage of me. How could he do that? I didn't even know this person. His number's not even saved in my phone. I didn't know that when I agreed to do this tour, I agreed to sign some kind of financial agreement with this individual. That's not what I was signing up for.
So I will admit this is outside my purview as far as a knowledge base I'm comfortable with, but I do know that that sort of thing happens. I do not believe it's standard practice for them to catch a 3%, but nowadays there's so many, you know, third parties and independent arbitrators and things like that that get involved in the process with real estate agents, home selling agents, home buying agents. There's just a lot of hands in the situation. So I think it's standard practice, but the idea that it seems like he was trying to get you to sign on to be his client under the, you know, guise of darkness is
a little bit shady. That's what I felt like. It'd be different if like he and I had been working together and then he was just like, hey, I don't want to do all this work. You then agree to buy a condo through somebody else, and then all the work that I've put in goes for nothing. I would have completely understand if that was the case. Like, I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, we have been working together. Yeah, we're in this together. I could just randomly be assigned somebody from Zillow, and now in order to go on these tours, I got to sign an agreement that you're my realtor? Absolutely not. So, I told him, no, thanks. I had no interest in signing anything with this man. I just left. Then he was, you know how they always do that little slick. Oh, hey, here's my business card. If you change your mind, I will never change my mind about this. Get away from me. I felt like he was trying to be sneaky. That's what I felt like.
Someone in the text line says, this is how Zillow works. They get a hold of the realtor and they try to get you to get you signed up to see their property. It does seem shady, although text line, which again, is
yeah, just something about it just didn't feel right. That's what I'm saying. It just didn't feel right.
Text line, which is far more knowledgeable about this than we are.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I didn't know. Maybe I just should have signed it, but I'm just saying, I guess in this thing, I just feel like, so you're telling me as a real estate agent, you really don't have to do any work. I can do all the work and then you get paid at the end. Tell me, what kind of game is that?
I do think you're going to sign with an agent one day, but I don't think it should be through Zillow. That would be my assessment. I have a real estate agent. It wasn't through Zillow.com. It was someone we knew.
Someone says, Sita, I don't think you're wrong. I just think you're paranoid. I don't think I was paranoid. I just don't know how. I'm not signing any financial agreement with somebody I just met less than 5 minutes ago. I just met you.
Now, I will say,
I gotta sign a financial agreement with you? That doesn't make any sense. Tell me what part of the game is this.
The financial part I agree with, but someone on the text line says that they're a realtor and they have to have some sort of signed document to show you any property.
Yeah, I don't mind that, but I'm just not, you're not automatically assign me somebody.
Correct.
Let me pick my own person.
You're not.
And then I'll sign with them and then we can go on this journey together.
I don't mind signing over, like, hey, I want to come look at the property. I'm Carrington Harrison, sign my name, yeah, I'll go look at it. But 3%, that part.
The text line is saying I shouldn't use Zillow. I didn't know. I had absolutely no clue. You know, it was like one of those days where... It was one of those days where I think we all have done this before, where you can't go to sleep at night and you're just like randomly on the internet and you just start randomly looking at stuff. And then I found myself on Zillow and I was like, oh, I'm gonna go take a tour of this place. That's why I thought it was like ho-hum. I thought it would be like when you go look for apartments. When you go look for apartments, the person that runs the building, they just show you the place. You can get it there if you don't want to get it. I just thought that was gonna be the end of it. I didn't know what I was signing myself up for. Had absolutely no clue. No clue. I didn't know. Thanks, text line, for helping me out. Text line 913-586-7965. So,
by the way, look at you. You've become a full-time adult in like 24 hours trying to get a new car and looking at property.
The new car's out of necessity. I currently don't have a car.
I mean,
I don't have a car.
Car and
I have to get a car at some point.
Car and condos.
Yeah, I don't.
Big October don't over
have,
there.
I don't have a car right now. I literally do not have a car. So I got to fix that issue. That's a serious issue. I'm not 100% certain that I want to move. I just want to at least be open to the possibility that I could move. That's why I'm
like
open. I'm open to the possibility that I could move. You know, but that's where I am. I'm not 100% certain. But I at least want to look around and start the process because at some point I know I will be, all right, it's time for me now to move into a house. It's time for me to move into something a little bit more permanent where I'm not paying rent, where I'm building equity. That's the adulting part of it. So I just at least had to ask to make sure that everything was on the up and up because I just didn't know.
You're about to have a lot of equity with that new car and that new condo.
The car I'm looking at, it ain't that new.
We're going to call you E-Dot, Equity Dot. That's what you are.
I'm telling you right now.
Ain't no C anymore, Equity Dot.
The car I've been looking at ain't that new. I'm not getting a whole lot of equity with the car that I'm looking at. You know, not really a car individual. I just need one I can drive, man. I'm not really, cars don't really do it for me.
Does it rumble when it turns on? That's all.
Okay, relax, all right. I'm not getting a jalopy. I'm not getting a lemon. Calm down. See, you doing the text line thing, you got a little bit of a joke. And now you took it a little bit too far. Now we got to move on. We got to move on now. Can we look ahead just a little bit to Monday Night Football? I promise you we'll get back to talking about the Raiders. We know you beat up on the Raiders. We'll get back to that in a little bit. Am I getting a little bit ahead of myself in thinking that we are always going to have to worry about the health of Jaden Daniels? That was the theme of his first year. You remember he missed a couple of games because of the injury. That was a theme in college. He tore his ACL when he was in college. And now he has dealt with injuries basically the entire second season to the point where at least Adam Schefter doesn't think that Jaden Daniels is going to play on Monday Night Football.
Jaden Daniels hobbles off the field, doesn't come back in the game. I think it would be safe to say right now that it would be a surprise if he's playing a week from today against the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football and the Commanders are about to embark upon really like the teeth of their schedule. They play the Chiefs, the Seahawks, the Lions. I think that it's fair to think that Jaden Daniels is going to miss some of those games at the very least.
You can tell me if I'm jumping the gun a little bit or out over my skis, whatever analogy you want to make, Rob. It just feels like this is something that we're going to have to deal with and something we're going to have to discuss in Jaden Daniels' career. I think when he's healthy, he's proven that he is one of the better quarterbacks in the National Football League. But it seems like his health is just a question. It comes up from time to time. What's that saying? Your best ability is availability. Well, it just seems like the availability of Jaden Daniels is just usually going to be in question. Something we're going to talk about, something we're going to have to manage, something we're going to have to see as it goes on. As of right now, Jaden Daniels is likely not going to play in Monday Night Football. I'm here to tell you that a backup quarterback with the way this Chiefs defense is playing right now is not coming into a night game at Arrowhead and leaving with the win. Who's their backup? Marcus Mariota? This ain't 2017 anymore with Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota is not coming into Arrowhead at night, not with the way that this offense is playing, not the way that this defense is playing, and winning a shootout potentially against the Chiefs. Their one chance was Jaden being special, going out there and being one of the better quarterbacks in the league and making plays. You remember at the very beginning of the year, I told you that Washington was one of my regression teams. Now, I didn't think it was going to be because of injury to Jaden Daniels, but just something to note. I know we're a long way away. Who knows how you practice, how you recover, how you heal, all of those things. But just something to keep a note that it's the Monday. We got a whole 7 days until Monday Night Football. And Adam Schefter is already saying that he is not expecting Washington starting quarterback to be able to go on Monday Night Football.
I mean, I'll say this from a Chiefs perspective. That is a nice break for them because Adam Schefter in the cut said that the Commanders have to go through the teeth of their schedule. And we will have time to talk about this over the course of the week and next week and et cetera. The Chiefs are about to go through the teeth of their schedule too. Like, there is no rest for the weary when it comes to the Chiefs. The Commanders, now that's changed. No Jaden Daniels, according to Adam Schefter, makes that different. But then after the Commanders, you got the Bills, a bye week, the Broncos, the Colts, the Cowboys. Like, that is absolutely a difficult stretch. A stretch we didn't anticipate being difficult preseason because no one thought the Colts were going to be a thing. But that's the Chiefs' next five. So to catch a break and be facing Marcus Mariota on Monday night is a real win for Chiefs fans and Chiefs kingdom because that Marcus Mariota's not being the Chiefs of Monday Night Football. Not the way they're playing now. Maybe Marcus Mariota, who was at Oregon with Chip Kelly's offense, have a chance, but those days are long gone.
Especially because Washington right now, they're completely banged up across the board. It's not just at the quarterback position that they're incredibly banged up. I mean, they're banged up at wide receiver right now. They're banged up at other positions right now on the field right now. Like, they don't have enough. They don't have enough bodies right now, I think, to be able to go on the road and beat Kansas City, especially right now when Kansas City seems to be pretty healthy across the board. I mean, I'm looking at their wide receivers from this past week. I mean, Jalen Lane was their leading receiver and Chris Moore. So you spent a lot on Debo Samuel. He didn't play in this game. Terry McLaurin, you spent a lot on him. He also didn't play in this game. You don't really have a consistent run game in this one. The Kroski Merritt kid, he had 13 carries for 33 yards. I mean, you couldn't get going against the Cowboys defense on Sunday. Against the Cowboys. So if you couldn't get things cooking and moving and shaking against the Cowboys, excuse me, how do you plan on doing that next week in Kansas City right now with the Chiefs team that is playing with all the momentum in the world heading into Monday Night Football? So I already thought it was going to be a tall task for Washington. They're already fighting an uphill battle, and now you're going to not have, I mean, he was their leading rusher this past week. I mean, say what you want about Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is talented enough to make this a game by himself if he plays. We've seen that before. He can throw for 225, run for 65, have two touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, and this end up being a game because Washington just has one of those guys at QB. If you don't have your playmakers and you don't have your quarterback, it sounds to me like you go on the road and you potentially get the beats. And I'm not talking about the Las Vegas Raiders beats, but you just don't have a good chance right now going up against this Kansas City team, not with the adversity right now that the Commanders are facing. So, Rob, I had you pull some of the defensive numbers from this past game, and let's go through them together as a family. The Raiders didn't score. Not a single point, not a garbage time touchdown, not a garbage time field goal just to make themselves feel good. I mean, they came to Kansas City and they left with as many points as they came here with. They didn't score in the game. Zero. Goose egg. The Las Vegas Raiders ran 30 plays in the game over 10 drives. 30. The Chiefs had 30 first downs in the game. Las Vegas, on their 30 plays, had 95 yards of total offense on 30 plays. They had 95 yards. For example, the Chiefs had 434 total yards of offense to 95. The Las Vegas Raiders had three first downs. Three. Over the span of 60 minutes, they had three first downs in this matchup. They did not convert a third or a fourth down in this game. They just should have punted on second down in this game. Not a one, not an accidental conversion. None. They never got to the red zone. They only had one drive that got to midfield. They had 17 minutes of time of possession. I am not saying this in any way to diminish the Kansas City Chiefs. None. I don't want anybody to hear it that way. It is almost physically impossible to play worse than the Las Vegas Raiders did on Sunday. It is almost impossible. Like, we laugh and joke about college teams and how they would look against NFL teams. This is how I think it would look. I'm serious. I think if Ohio State played the Chiefs, I think they could get 90 yards of offense. I think they could get 90 yards. I think if you let Ohio State, if you gave them 10 drives, I think they could run 30 plays at least of offense. I think Ohio State could be 0-7 on third down and also 0-1 on fourth down. I think they could possibly get a couple of first downs. I do. I really think it's possible. I honestly don't know if you can play worse than what the Raiders played. I think it's the absolute worst I think I've ever seen a team play. You did nothing right. What does film study look like for you? Who are you patting on the back for playing well? Did anybody play well on the Raiders? Why did you even come? Why did you even get on the plane? Why were you here? What's going on? Embarrassing. Really, really, really embarrassing. From an organization that I really thought they were turning the corner. I really did. I fell for it. I got hoodwinked. New coach, new quarterback. You picked up Ashton Jeanty, Brock Bowers. I mean, this is supposed to be a team that I thought could win 7, 8, 9 games. Maybe be, no, same Raiders. The only thing cool about the Raiders is their logo and jerseys. That's it. There's nothing else cool about them.
A few weeks ago, we were talking about college football catfishes. And you're talking about Cade Klubnik and Arch Manning. Is Pete Carroll in that category? Because you fell for it. I fell for it. A lot of people were hoodwinked by the Raiders and the fact that, oh, Tom Brady went out and hired, put an adult in the room. No more inexperienced Antonio Pierce. No more, you know, coming out of retirement and out of the booth, John Gruden. This was a coach that had won a Super Bowl, had won a national title in college. He had an energy. He was going to come in. He was going to revitalize the program, add an air of stability, and get them back to respectability. And then we're probably going to retire based on his age. But it wasn't going to be, you know, a goof show anymore out in Vegas. Are we sure that Pete Carroll is going to be the guy to fix things? Because the Raiders I saw yesterday and the Raiders I saw a couple years ago when they got smoked after stepping on midfield are the same Raiders. The only difference is there was no pregame kerfuffle. It looks the same. Is Pete Carroll in your catfish category?
I'm not ready to say that about Pete Carroll. I'm really not. I think the Raiders' offensive line issues were a lot greater than I had anticipated at the very beginning of the season. And I think you were seeing the effect that that has on everybody. Geno was good last year. You and I both think that Ashton Jeanty has a chance to be a very good running back in this league. If you don't have your number one pass catcher, which is Brock Bowers, who might have been the best tight end in the National Football League last year, you remove him, you got a bad offensive line, you got an aging quarterback. I mean, I feel like a lot of things have just gone wrong for the Raiders. Now, I'm not here to make any excuses for them. They're bad. They're an awful, awful football team. Like, they're terrible. But my goodness, I didn't know it was that bad for the Raiders. I really didn't. I didn't know it was that bad. They looked like the worst team in the league yesterday. And the Jets are bad. Like, legitimately a bad football team. The Raiders yesterday looked like the worst team in the league. Rob, they didn't rush for a first down. You know how hard that is? You know how hard it is to be in second and two, and then you didn't run? The Chiefs ran for just running first downs. They ran for 12 yesterday. They got more first downs via Chiefs penalties than they did rushing first downs in the game. They didn't convert a third or a fourth down. They ran 30 plays. The Chiefs ran 77. And the Chiefs called off the dogs. The Chiefs didn't throw a pass play on the final three possessions that they had. The Chiefs really could have kept kicking them while they were down. Chiefs could have beat them 45-0 if they wanted to. 52-0. They really could have. They could have pounded them a lot worse than what they did. They really had mercy on them. Pete Carroll needs to send Andy Reid a holiday basket. because they really could have embarrassed them worse than they did. The Chiefs basically gave up after halftime. Like, they basically just played out the string, especially in the fourth quarter. In the last 15 minutes of that game, Kansas City packed it in and was just, hey, let's just go ahead and get out of here, and let's try to keep everybody healthy.
I actually think the Chiefs – quit's a bad term. I think the Chiefs put it in cruise control a lot earlier than that. Like, Rashee Rice was good yesterday. We can talk about that. Everyone's going to eat. But, like, outside of that play that led to the false start on the goal line where they were trying to do some sneaky two-quarterback stuff, was there a lot of creativity and, oh, man, can you believe the Chiefs are doing? It looked like the vanilla third preseason game offense. Screen to Rice, crossing pattern to Worthy, run, run. Just nothing wasn't working. It felt like Andy Reid was legitimately in a preseason game. I don't want to show too much on film. I'm going to keep it vanilla. We're just so talented that the vanilla is going to beat them. Like, for a college football analogy, you know when you take on, like, Wagner or Central Arkansas?
That's 100% what it felt like.
That is 100% how it felt like. Let's not show anything real. We don't want the other teams to know we can do this stuff. But we are just so more purely talented that we can run halfback dive and we got 6 yards on deck. Just that easy.
Yeah, it felt like when Ohio State plays Akron. That's what it felt like yesterday. It felt like a August week zero, week one college football games where the powerhouse school plays the directional school from a mid-major. That's what it felt like. You know on how on the college football game when you play like FCS Midwest, that's who the Chiefs played this week. That's who they played. They played FCS Dragons is who they played. Just an absolute, I'm serious, an embarrassing effort from the Las Vegas Raiders. Embarrassing. You can't even get a post-game meal. Remember that thing from the Cowboys documentary? How he wouldn't even let him eat on the plane? No, you get nothing. You don't get any headphones. You don't get any meal. You can't watch a movie on the flight. You just got to sit there and you just got to think about the last 60 minutes that we just played. And are you a professional football player? This got to make you question the profession that you chose. There ain't nothing like getting beat in football because you're getting physically dominated over the course of 60 minutes. Just a complete drubbing from start to finish. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtz, his voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, Mitch Holtz is going to join us on the show. Fellas, can we have a conversation with just us? Now, I don't know how many lady listeners that we have. I've seen the ratings. We got a lot, and I appreciate you. But right now, this segment is just for the fellas. 913-586-7965. Well, the first part is the second part is for everybody. It's about the Chiefs. Rob, I imagine there are times where you're watching TV, and your wife says to you, hey, babe, I want to show you this thing on my phone. It's pretty funny. I'm sure this has happened to you at some point. What's her shooting percentage when this happens? Because I'm guessing tonight this is going to happen to one of the men that are listening to the show. There's a lot happening today. We got two Monday night games. We got a game seven. Today is one of those days that you plan on kind of going down to the man cave, or today it's your TV night. She might can get the TV tomorrow, Wednesday. Maybe you'll give her for Thursday night football. But today, while we got all this stuff going on, hey, I'm watching football. I'm watching a little baseball today. That's what we're doing. But, you know, you're sitting there with her, and she says, hey, babe, I want to show you this. It's funny. What's your wife's shooting percentage in that scenario? She ain't shooting 100% from the field. No chance. What's her percentage?
I'm trying to think of the reels or TikToks or, like, videos she shares on social media across to me. It's a higher percentage than you'd think, but it's not 100. I think she's solid from the free throw line. She's like in the 70-75%.
Yeah, that's good.
If she's at the line at the end of the game, you feel like, all right, you got a bucket coming. It ain't JJ Redick at Duke, okay. But you're not. It's not Shaq either. You're okay.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Then I can live with that. I'm shocked you said that high of a number. Because if you got a woman that's shooting in the 70s or 80s when it comes to this scenario, it makes sense why you're in the life situation that you're in. I think most of the time your girl in this scenario is shooting about 40%. I think she's shooting 40% from the line. She's like DeAndre Ayton from the free throw line in this scenario. It's not a high percentage. The meme or reel they want to show you, 8 times out of 10 ain't funny. It ain't funny. And then you got to do that fake thing, like you got to laugh, you know, you got to laugh and like, oh, no, that's funny. But you really like, oh, my goodness, why did you just show me this? And then she starts to go into the backstory of who's in, like, okay, all right, I don't know why I committed. I don't know why I committed to this. I'm sorry. I apologize. I just wanted to know. Fellas, I'm really pulling for you today. This is a big day for us. This is a big day. Two Monday night games, game seven. I'm with you. See, this is what I thought you were going to say, Rob, because this is the top text. See that? I love my wife to death, but she's shooting below 40%, 100%. She's shooting below 40. Come on now. You're telling me Caroline's shooting 80% from the field?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. No one said 80. I think she's in the 70. She's around 70%.
Okay, all right. I'm making sure. I'm trying to find out. Somebody said his wife, she is 2023 KJ Adams from the line.
Oof.
I thought you were going to say that she was DeJuan Harris on a contested three. That's what I thought you were going to say. I wasn't sure.
No, those don't happen. He never took one of those.
Okay, my bad. Someone said my wife is listening. Stop trying to start a fight. My bad. Let's move on. All right, I apologize. I wasn't trying to start a fight with anybody. I was just curious. I just wanted to know because we've been in this scenario. You're sitting there. You're on the couch. You're watching the game. She's got her feet on you. You know, you're just vibing. You're just watching the game. She's on her phone. Hey, she's not bothering you. You're not bothering her. You're just enjoying the game. Next thing I'm telling you, she's scrolling on TikTok. And she says, hey, babe, I want to show this to you. I think it's funny. What percentage do you think she's shooting from the field? And I want to play one piece of audio for you guys. Now, I think you guys are going to hear my commentary on this, and you're going to think that I'm hating. I promise you I'm not hating. I'm really not. I'm in a good mood. You should be in a good mood. We're having a good day. I think the Mahomes thing on fourth down is being a little bit overblown. Listen to this, him explaining the fake where they went for it on fourth down.
I think it comes from all my State Farm commercials. No, I'm joking. The Nags actually came up with the idea. You know, we had talked about doing the hard count, trying to draw the teams off sides. And I can't remember who I watched do it a couple years ago, and they had said that, and so I was like, I'm going to use that as part of my acting to like try to get the defense just to relax a little bit. But at the end of the day, we still got to go get it. I thought the offensive line did a great job of driving off the ball, and then Kareem in those situations is money.
Maybe I'm the only one that felt this way. I didn't think there was any chance the Chiefs weren't going for it right there. If you remember, the Chiefs ran it with Kareem Hunt on third and short. He got stopped. It hadn't been many times so far this season that had been the case. The quarter then ended. So then the Chiefs went to go back and talk about it and then put their offense out on the field. I never thought the Chiefs did all of that to then potentially call a timeout at the end of it. I always knew the Chiefs were going for it. This is what I mean where I think the Chiefs, and I think Mahomes does this too, the Chiefs love throwing shade at other teams. They really do love throwing shade. You didn't need to do all of that. The Raiders couldn't stop anything you were trying to do. Kareem Hunt in a 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1 situation has been automatic from the line. He's Steve Nash in 06 from the free throw line. So it was definitely cool. It was fun to watch. It was cool that they got the audio, all of those kind of things. I can't believe the Raiders were potentially going to fall for it. There was no chance that coming out after the quarter, the Chiefs put their offense back on the field only to try to get them to do offsides and then punt the ball from the midway point of the field. They were always going to go for it. I mean, the theatrics are fun, yeah, but I can't believe the Raiders were going to fall for that fake. I don't think they fell for the fake. I just don't think they were ever going to stop the Chiefs on a 4th-and-short, not with Kareem. I don't think they ever were going to do that.
I think, and a texter makes a very similar point. I think the only reason we know about this one is because of the hot mic. I will say this, though. I kind of agree with you. I don't think it was the, you know, this play never works thing that made it a first down. I think you could have run anyone, and you could have given the ball to Carson Steele on that play, and he's getting a first down because the Raiders have no resistance what the Chiefs are doing. Does it seem like the Chiefs like to go out of their way to humiliate and mock the Raiders when they play the Raiders, though? Because remember, they had that play on the goal line that was called back. They had this play.
That was on the same drive. Yeah. Like, literally on the same drive. So they did the fake fourth down, whatever they were going to do. I just always thought they were going to go for it. I never fell for the fake. And then on that same drive, I mean, they're moving the ball because they had just thrown it to Breshard Smith. So it was an automatic, again, not automatic, but they just converted the first down. It's now 1st and goal from, I think it was like the 3-yard line. They then put Gardner Minshew in, and then Mahomes is in the backfield, but they run some kind of weird run. It was odd. It then didn't work. It's 2nd down. It was almost like the Chiefs were like, well, it doesn't matter. We're still going to score a touchdown on this drive anyway. Like, I just think the Chiefs were bored. You know what I think? I think it's like when you play a football video game, and you have, you know, everybody that plays these games has like 15 or 20 plays that you can run that you feel very successful they're going to work. But then if you get a little bit of a lead, you can kind of open the playbook up a little bit and experiment and try some new things and see what works and what doesn't work. You know, just see what works. That's what I feel like the Chiefs were doing. I mean, that play with Gardner Minshew was bad. It was a really, really bad play. It was awful. It didn't work. It didn't come close to working. But it's the Raiders. Like, why don't you just try it? Because maybe you run that play, it doesn't work. Now you get a chance to see it on film. You see what works. You see what didn't work. You now throw it a different scenario. I feel like the Chiefs were just, I think the Chiefs were bored in the first half of the game. I think they were bored. And they were just trying stuff. I really think they were trying stuff. The fake after the quarter had just changed, you were going to go for it. The fake play at the goal line, just keep doing what you were doing. Just pummeling the Las Vegas Raiders. That's what they did for 30 minutes. They just pummeled them. It was a UFC on the ground, ground and pound, and officially the ref just stood in the middle and said, all right, the fight is over. That was the halftime buzzer. There was no scenario in which the Raiders were going to be competitive yesterday. Not a single one. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtzis. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at how I met your mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.